Chapter 14. As far as Susie was concerned, the deal was souring rapidly. Leol fucking Riger turning up, that was serious bad news. She had planned on meeting Riger again, sure, when she was in body armor, lugging some heavy-duty weapons hardware around with her. Be interesting to see how much the shit smiled then. He hadn't been smiling much when he'd backed off, him and that psychic tit, Chad. She was still trying to make sense of that. It was like waking from a dream she knew had been bad, but there was no straight memory of it. The only clue was the shape lurking behind her eyes, never fully visible. Some dark animal, similar to a gene-tailored sentinel panther, except this one was bigger, hard, like a gargoyle that had come to life. Freaky. Greg had given her a double shock, first that he could do that, second that he would. 15 years of fruit farming stripped away, dumping him back on Peterborough's hot streets as if he'd never been away. One mean hardliner. She hadn't been so close to psychics when they'd clashed before, and one sample of that backwash was more than enough. It was too much like black sorcery. She snatched a glance at Greg as the three of them walked back towards the well. He was battling against his gland headache, face sliding back into remorse again. The soft years had returned to cloud him. But the old Greg was still there, buried under all that civilization. A good thought to hold on to if events freewheeled much further downhill. That was what got to her, rode her hard into a micro-storm of worry. The lack of professionalism about the deal, the urgency, bugger Julia for hustling her into it, using Royan for emotional blackmail. She was mildly surprised she could still be twisted like this, an unrealized chink in her armor-plated heart. First Andrea, now old friendships. Might as well walk into Leol Riger's bedroom stark bollock naked. Sharp, cold sunlight fell into the well at a severe angle. Busy, preoccupied faces swarmed past. A termite conveyor belt. There was something about arcology dwellers. Clannish, almost cyborgs with smile circuitry. She could pick one out of a stadium rock crowd. The Presda's well was just their kind of turf. All the primness and carefully calculated nookishness of the small franchise shops. Hardly surprising that visitors tended to use the big domed shopping mall outside. Greg walked right over to the balcony rail, gripping the smooth brass with both hands, gazing across the well. She followed his line.
"There are two observers left on this level now," Greg said. "One straight ahead, and I tell you, he's getting jumpy. Male, 30, ginger beard, wearing grey trousers, a mint-green polo shirt. Sunshade band."
She scanned the opposite side of the balcony. "Got him."
"Yes," Malcolm said. "Okay," said Greg. "Haul him in."
They turned right, walking round towards the window. Malcolm headed in the other direction.
"How you holding out?" she asked Greg.
"Bloody painful. I haven't used that much neurohormone for 10 years. Not since we had organized poaching teams invading the peninsula."
"What, lemon rustlers?"
There was the most ridiculous image in her mind.
"No. Deer, as in does and stags. There's a good herd of them in Armley Wood now."
He sounded so serious.
"Yeah, all right, Greg, spare me the juice. Point is, are you up to drill in this observer's brain?"
"Yeah, don't fret yourself. I'll find out who hired him."
They were halfway towards the observer, walking past the window tables. The Alps outside were brown, wrinkled teeth. Small caps of snow a gritty grey in colour.
Susie kept a surreptitious eye on the observer with the ginger beard ahead of them. He was beginning to drift towards the corridor entrance. She activated her cyberfax.
"Malcolm, hearing you clear,"
the hardliner answered.
"Okay, checking."
"Christ,"
Greg blurted. He took two fast steps to the balcony rail and leant over. When she joined him, she saw he was watching one of the glass cage lifts, rising smoothly. It was on the other side of the well, a couple of floors below. An escalator interrupted her view.
"Is it Leol?"
"Yep. And there's 6 others in there with him. Major hostiles."
The lift emerged from behind an escalator. She looked directly at Leol Riger, who saw her at the same time. His arms moved.
"Shit!"
Greg's hand slammed into her shoulder. As she fell, she saw white spiderweb cracks blooming across the glass of the lift. The distinct warble of an electromagnetic rifle cut across the well's bustle. She landed painfully on her shoulder, puma bag thumping into her side, already rolling. A stipple sheet of orange flame erupted across the front of the delicatessen behind her, fucking explosive tip projectiles. Heat washed over the back of her neck. The toughened glass windows of the delicatessen simply disintegrated, long, lethal crystalline shards raining down over the food displays and floor. Screams burst out all around the balcony, mixed with the crescendo of smashing glass. Terrified people around her, diving for cover. Cold fury boiled up. Leol fucking Riger. Like a conditioned lab rat. See her and shoot. Never mind there were hundreds of civilians about. A high-pitched alarm started to shrill. There was a man on his knees in front of the shattered delicatessen, hands held in front of his face, one of the shards transfixing his wrist. Blood was squirting out of the wound. Two young women in identical stewardess suits were clinging to each other, the fabric of their uniforms punctured as if they'd been peppered with buckshot, each hole the center of a spreading red stain. Susie rolled again onto her chest, bringing her legs up, trainers scrabbling for purchase on the smooth tiles. "Corridor!" Greg roared above the bedlam. Another volley of electromagnetic rifle fire ripped the air. The plastic sign along the top of the delicatessen window flared orange, then ruptured, showering the nearby section of the balcony with fragments of plastic and small chunks of smoking concrete. A fresh round of screaming broke out. "Tell Malcolm!" Greg shouted. Then he was running, stooping to keep his head below the level of the rail, moving surprisingly fast. "Malcolm!" she yelled into the cyberfax. "The corridor! Get into the corridor!" Running was easier for her. She didn't have to bend over as much as Greg. She began to catch him up. An escalator was mindlessly delivering prone bodies onto the balcony, frightened men, women, and children sobbing, holding their hands over their heads, as if that would do any good. She dodged round the outside of the logjam of petrified bodies, nearly tripping on outstretched legs. More electromagnetic rifle fire poured out of the lift. They were guessing where she and Greg were now. Projectiles twanged and whined off concrete and the metal of the escalators, bursting into bright florets. 20 meters ahead of her, she saw the ginger-headed observer scurry into the corridor. Beyond him, Malcolm was pressed up against the balcony rail, the Tokarev pointing towards the lift railings. A dense ruby beam stabbed out of the pistol. She watched it strike the lift railings, just above the lift itself. There was a fantail plume of cherry-red sparks, a squirt of white molten metal. Susie heard a grinding metallic shriek rising above the incessant alarm. It cut off with a crunch. The shop windows behind Malcolm detonated into flame and scything fragments as the electromagnetic rifles opened fire on him. He hunched down low as glass daggers whirred through the air all around him. Streaks of blood appeared over his suit. Susie risked a glance over the balcony rail. The cage lift was stuck 3 meters below the balcony. She should have done that. Fucked up the mechanism. Malcolm had done all right. Security people normally played by the rules, but then Malcolm was one of Victor's. Someone in the lift was swinging a rifle towards her. She ducked fast. Greg had made it to the entrance of the corridor. He was looking helplessly at Malcolm, who was lying beside the balcony rail, his face screwed up in pain. "Get him!" Susie yelled. She jerked the zip on her puma bag, spilling the contents onto the floor. Saw the Browning, grabbed it. Greg was edging cautiously towards Malcolm. Susie flicked the Browning to rapid pulse and twisted fast, hands over the railing, taking aim. There was no glass left in the lift. Leol Riger's team were climbing through the open frame, dropping onto the balcony below. Two of them had already made it. They were helping a third who was spread-eagled on the outside of the lift. The remaining four in the lift were covering the balcony with their rifles. Couldn't see which one was Leol. She let off 3 maser pulses, moving the Browning in a slow arc, the way Greg had taught her to use beam weapons in some distant age. One of the figures inside the lift fell backwards, arms windmilling. A small circle of intense flame flared on the back of the man climbing down onto the balcony. She couldn't tell where the third pulse hit. Just as she dived back under cover, she saw the man clinging to the outside of the lift begin to fall. She scuttled along behind the balcony rail, wincing as the electromagnetic rifle projectiles chewed at the shop fronts. People were moaning now, rather than screaming. Most of the wounds she could see looked superficial, clothing and skin cut by flying glass, smaller, deeper fragmentation punctures. Greg had one arm around Malcolm, half dragging him towards the corridor. The hardliner's feet were skating about on the tiles, as if he didn't have full control over them. Susie lifted the Browning over the balcony again. The tech mercs in the lift had hunched down in the bottom. There was no sign of the two on the balcony. She got off 6 pulses, holding the beam on the lift. Then she saw one of the tech mercs on the balcony raising his electromagnetic rifle above the railing. Crouched down and raced for the corridor, blazing projectiles chiseling long gouges in the wall above her. Greg and Malcolm collapsed onto the walkway leading down into the safety of the corridor. Susie landed on the ribbed metal segments a couple of meters behind them. She realized how heavily she was breathing, air sucked into her lungs in fast gulps. "You okay?" Greg shouted back at her.
"Yeah."
The walkway seemed to be crawling along, no speed at all. The corridor's curve was too gentle. She could still see the entrance into the well. The moans and whimpers were fading, but the alarm was still howling away.
"How's Malcolm?"
"Functional,"
the security hardliner answered with a weak grin.
"Can you make out if Leo's team are coming after us?"
she asked Greg.
"Not yet."
Malcolm drew his cyberfax out of his top pocket and muttered something to it. He studied the display.
"There's a SWAT squad on its way to the well. Presto security think it's a lone psycho burner on the loose."
"Can you break in and tell them it's a tech merc team?"
Susie asked.
"Yes, do it. If the police go out there unprepared, Leo's crazies will snuff the lot of them."
Malcolm spoke into the cyberfax.
"How bad does this Riger hate you?"
Greg asked.
"Bad enough. Sodding mutual it is too."
"Will he leave Baronski to come after you?"
"Doubt it. He's fucking insane, but not stupid. He knows he's got to get Baronski now, or he's blown his deal. I'll be around for a long time. We'll have our little chat later."
Greg climbed to his feet, helping Malcolm to stand. Susie looked back. The well was out of sight. She stood, yelling at the sharp, unexpected pain in her left leg. When she looked down, the shell suit was torn around the knee. A clump of glass needles were embedded in the flesh, blood flowing freely. Now her senses were calming down, she was aware of other lacerations. Arms, back, buttocks. Little tingle points, hot and sticky.
"Jesus wept," she muttered.
They reached the end of the walkway. A group of people were milling about, numb and white-faced as zombies. Some of them had cuts and nicks from the glass fragments. They looked balefully at Susie. She realized the Browning was still in her hand, its red LED charge light winking steadily.
"Next set of lifts," Greg said impassively.
Malcolm was leaning on him heavily, limping. The back of his jacket was sodden with blood. Susie followed the pair of them through the silent group onto the next walkway. She hated the accusations in their stares. Wanting to explain, "It wasn't me. Blame Leol Riger." No use. "What next?" she asked. The alarm's cry was reduced to a distant whistle now. Greg's eyes were unfocused. There was blood on his face, oozing from small cuts on his cheeks. A deep one right next to his eye. They'd been lucky, she knew. If Leol had thought about it, planned it out instead of letting his instincts rule.
"Tactical retreat," Greg said. "None of us is in any fit state to do anything. I've lost track of the observer, and chasing after the one back in the well is a definite no. Besides, if you're right about Riger, our lead over Fielder is getting narrower by the second. Bugger, but I wanted to know who else we were up against."
At the end of the walkway, they took a lift up to the next floor, then switched. Malcolm slumped against the steel panel wall, sucking down shallow breaths. Susie was getting worried about the amount of blood he was losing. It was dripping steadily off his jacket, soaking the floor. He was muttering something in a slurred voice. Greg tugged his cyberfax out as the lift doors slid shut.
"Rachel, we're in shaft A-17, lift 5. Bring the Pegasus as close to it as you can and come and get us. It's hit the fan, okay?"
"On our way, Greg,"
Rachel's voice said out of the wafer. Susie's cyberfax bleeped. She pulled it out of her top pocket with stiff fingers, knowing who it would be. Leol Riger's face filled the little screen. His corpse flesh was actually coloured, cheeks red. She could see one of Baronski's porno art paintings on the wall behind him.
"Two of my team, Susie, bitch! You snuffed two of them!"
There was a woman's scream in the background. Susie thought it might be Iol. Leol Riger never paid it any attention.
"You fucking well brought them here, Leol. You ordered them to open fire when there were civilians around, you paranoid rat prick. There were sitting ducks in that lift. Your screw-up tactics, your fault.
I've got a deal to close right now, Susie, but afterwards you and I are going to say hello. First I'm going to sprain your mind, so you're seen that'll make you scream. Then I'm going to snap your little kiddie body in two. You read me, bitch?"
"Bollocks. You're on the wrong side of this deal, Leol. I've got the fucking English army behind me."
She savored the momentary flash of puzzlement on his face, then said,
"Say hi to the SWAT squadron for me, Leol,"
and flipped him off. The tremble in her legs was nothing to do with the glass fragments. The lift opened into a passenger lounge, plastic chairs arranged in a zigzag pattern, hologram adverts of civil hypersonics slicing through clean, sunny skies, departure information screens, a children's play area. An echoic tannoy voice was announcing a flight arrival. The first thing Susie saw when the lift doors opened was Rachel and Pierce racing towards them, Tokarevs held ready. Waiting passengers scrambled out of the way. Rachel's eyes widened in surprise when she saw them. Lord, hell, fire, anything serious?
Malcolm's out, can't walk, Greg said.
I got him, Pierce said. He pulled Malcolm's arms around over his chest and lifted him piggyback style. Susie didn't notice any drop in speed as he began to jog for the lounge door. The Pegasus was taxiing towards the lounge as they came out into the hangar. Greg went up the belly hatch stairs first, then Pierce. Susie followed with Rachel bringing up the rear. Malcolm had been lowered into one of the chairs at the front of the cabin. A couple of wall lockers were open, aluminium first aid cases on the floor. Pierce was easing his colleague's tattered, soggy jacket off.
"We'll have to cut the trousers," he said. It was all very tight and professional, she thought. Fine, Greg muttered, raiding the first aid kits for a diagnostic sensor and antiseptic sprays.
He handed Pierce an infuser tube, which the hardliner pressed against Malcolm's neck. The belly hatch slid shut.
Where to?
Rachel asked. Out, Susie said. Now, we should have some coordinates coming from Julia in a little while, but just get us out. Rachel snatched up the handset. Susie started worrying about Leol Riger's transport, himself a psychic, and at least 6 hardliners. Whatever he'd arrived in had to be big, and probably loaded with defense hardware, knowing Leol.
Grab hold of something, Rachel called.
The flat screen showed the Pegasus turning towards one of the lift platforms. Susie could hear the compressors surging. With a rush of childish delight, she knew what the pilot was going to do. She sank quickly into one of the chairs. Her knee was giving her hell. There was a push of acceleration, and the Pegasus began its run for the platform. Hangar staff rushed to get clear. She felt the drop as they shot over the edge, her belly suddenly free-falling. The grassy valley floor with its railway lines and twin autobahns filled the flat screen. Then they were bottoming out, swooping up again above the Presda's dome.
"Is this plane fitted with an ECM system?" she asked.
Rachel looked up from the handset.
"Yes. Tell the pilot to use it and fly an evasion pattern through the mountains. We might be followed." "Right."
"Susie," Greg called. "Take over from me, will you?"
She rose from the chair, the pain in her knee more acute. Malcolm was unconscious. Pierce had got his jacket and shirt off and was spraying the wounds with antiseptic. The clear, oily liquid mixed with blood, forming runnels across Malcolm's ribs, splashing on the chair fabric. Susie checked the data the diagnostic was displaying on its screen. Her guess about the blood had been right. He was losing too much. She found a plasma bladder and pulled out its BioWare leech patch. The patch resembled a flattened snail, a hard carapace with a soft, spongy underside, connected to the plasma bladder with a plastic tube. She held Malcolm's forearm and pressed the leech pad against his skin. There was a soft sucking sound as it adhered. The pattern of yellow and green LED on the bladder's pump changed as the leech patch inserted its needle probes into his blood vessels. Then it began feeding plasma into him. Greg sat down gingerly in one of the chairs and gave Victor Tayo's number to his cyberfax. Susie heard the security chief say,
"Bloody hell, what happened to you?"
"Tell you, we're not the only people looking for Charlotte Fielder."
He started to fill Victor in on the events in the Presda. Susie began spraying dermal seal on Malcolm's lacerations. The foam sizzled as it touched the skin, rapidly solidifying into a pale blue membrane. She was continually bracing herself as the plane banked and rose. Malcolm's back had been badly slashed by the flying glass. She had to use flesh tape on the wider cuts. Pierce was working on his legs, using a small sensor pad to find any buried glass fragments.
"Hey," she said quietly. "He did all right, your mate. Stopped those tech mercs dead."
"The reason he was chosen," Pierce grunted.
"Yeah, right."
Susie heard Greg rounding up and asked Rachel to finish for her. She limped back to where Greg was sitting. A glance at the bulkhead flat screen showed a continual blur of rock.
"You too?"
Victor asked when Greg handed her the cyberfax. Susie sat heavily in one of the chairs, grimacing. The hand she was holding the cyberfax with was filmed in dry blood. And not all of it was Malcolm's.
"Yeah, but you should see the opposition."
"I know. Greg told me."
"Listen, Leol Riger, I know him. He's a prized turd. But the bastard's good."
"I'm reviewing his profile now, Susie. But I was aware of the name. Have you got any idea who employed him? Any rumors?"
"Nope, sorry. Gave me a fuck of a shock seeing him there."
She stared at Victor's concerned, young-seeming face, her instincts rebelling against confiding in him. Security man. But she had hard-lined with him once, 17 years ago, some weird case Greg was working on for Julia.
It was just she hated opening herself to anyone.
Victor, there's this girl. Name's Andrea Landon. She's in my apartment at the Surrey Hills Condominium. Not a hardliner, not even techmerk. Means she can't look out for herself. So if Leo Riger wants to hit me, she's the obvious choice. You got a safe house she can stay at till I get back?
No problem. I'm dispatching a couple of my people. They'll have her out of there in 20 minutes.
He said it all crisp and efficient, which he figured was his way of not showing surprise.
They've got to be good, Victor.
He was looking at something off-screen, typing.
They will be. Call her now and tell her they're coming. Howard Lavelle and Katie Sansom. Got the names?
Yeah. Thanks, Victor.